to part two of Game Changer, and so glad to have you here today for the second installment of our series, Game Changer. Let me also pause right here and welcome those that are joining us online. We're now broadcasting our entire service online from the very beginning, so good to have you guys. A lot of people are here faithfully every week from out of state, across the country, and just delighted to have you apart. Come on, can everybody just welcome those that are with us online. So glad to have you with us today. And there are message notes there for those of you online that you can download from our website and follow along with us with today's message.
I want to jump right into this series and begin with a verse that's found in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For those of you in house, those message notes are there in your worship guide that you can follow along with us. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, I want to share this with you, but let me just set this up first of all as to why we're looking at this topic of game changer. How many football fans do we have in here, by the way? Okay, about half of you. How many are any kind of sports fan at all? Okay, maybe football's not it, but it's some other sport. You know, when you're watching a sporting event, there are times when one team seems to have the momentum, and the other team has lost momentum, and it's bad when that's your team. I don't know whether you like to root for the winning team or the losing team. Like maybe you like to root for the underdog that going in they didn't give them the chance, but you're hoping they'll maybe do some kind of upset to the other team. But there are times when if you've ever been involved in rooting for a sport event, that you'll see that your team may be losing and you think it's all over, but then halftime comes, and maybe it's been a shutout at halftime, but you go into the locker room and there's some changes that happens inside the locker room. The coach makes some changes. There's some different play calls that they're going to put in place. They're going to analyze what's been going wrong in the first half, and they're going to make some changes, and then they come out, and then suddenly it's what we call a game changer. Everything changes because there were some decisions made. There were some changes made, and so we're taking that concept and we're applying it to ourselves spiritually. What changes could we make that perhaps we're losing in life and things aren't going our way and aren't going according to God's plans, but what changes can we install, can we put in place that would become a game changer, that would change the momentum and we would begin to win again? And so last week we actually looked at this topic of change up, and we established, first of all, that change is possible. It is possible to change. That gives me hope, because sometimes you think it's over, and I love it when you think it's over, and then there's something that happens, and then, yes, we won. I can't believe it. In fact, I was watching one game one time of football, and I'm like, hey, we're going to win. No, we're going to lose. Hey, we're going to win. No, we're going to lose. Hey, you ever been in one of those games, and it's exhausting, but I just want you to know, God has called us to be winners. God's called us to succeed in life. And there's different definitions of what succeed means. But I'm telling you, God has come, Jesus has come, that we might have life and have it to the full. And he doesn't want us just to be beat up by life and life end. Listen, God has a plan for our life. He has a purpose for our life. And he wants us to live a very fulfilling life. And so we established that first of all, change is possible. If you missed that, I encourage you to go back, look at that online. That's archived there for you, and get that, because it's kind of establishes where we're going next for the next 4 weeks. We're going to take some different areas of our life that are, I believe, very important, and I believe if we make some changes in these areas, honestly, it will be a game changer. And so today, let me just again lay this scripture out for you. This kind of a theme verse for us in Romans chapter 7. It says, Paul says, I don't understand myself at all. You ever feel that way? That gives me hope, because many times I don't understand myself. For I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. How many of us can identify with that? And he says, instead, I do the very thing I hate. And so if the Apostle Paul struggled that way, I just encourage you that we're all in this together. We all have that area that needs to change. Romans chapter 6 says this, though, encourages us. It says, do not let sin control the way you live, but instead, give yourselves completely to God. And that was a verse that we kind of really emphasized last week. And really, this whole series could be summed up with that one sentence, give yourselves completely to God. And when you do that, everything changes. And so it may be a particular area that you haven't truly given to God. Maybe you've given to God in one area, but there's some area that you've kind of compartmentalized and you've reserved that for yourself. But it's not going to work until you completely give that area to God. So give yourself completely to God. And so what we're talking about today is not just behavioral changes, by the way. You know, we all think about those kinds of things at the beginning of the year, what can change, what we can adjust, what New Year's resolutions. But it's more than behavioral change. There's a belief change that's got to happen. Something's got to change on the inside, because the fact of the matter is we all are very spiritual beings. We're not just physical beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We're a spiritual being that's going to live forever, and we're in these temporary bodies. One scripture says that we're just strangers passing through this land. So we are a spiritual being. So what needs to change on the inside, spiritual speaking? And I believe all these areas relate to our spiritual life. And so today, what we're going to talk about, and this may sound a little strange as we're approaching Valentine's Day, and you'd think I would just choose a topic about love and Cupid and hearts and arrows and all those things, you know, in relationship. But actually, this message is very much related to Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about financial changes. Financial changes. We don't want to talk about money. We're going to go spend some. We're going to buy some candy. We're going to go out to dinner. We're going to spend some money. But can I tell you that the number one cause of divorce is over finances? So I really think this is an area that we need that's going to help us in our relationships. And so so we need to establish this area in our life and make sure that it is healthy and it is what it needs to be. And so as we look at this, when we think about money, money is actually very spiritual. The subject is very spiritual. The Bible has an awful lot to say about money. And there's two ways that money can go. Money can be neutral in that it can be used one way or another. Money can either have, listen to this, money can either have God's spirit on it or it can have the world's spirit on it. Now, I want you to get a hold of that concept. Money can have God's spirit on it or it can have the world's spirit on it. And you can see that. You can see how money can be the cause of death, of murders, of crime, of divorce. Again, the number one cause of divorce is money. I want us to see a scripture that's found in Luke chapter 16. That will help us understand this concept. Luke chapter 16, verse 9 says, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. I want to look at this scripture. I want to look at this verse here for just a moment. That scripture is very, very misunderstood, and it's kind of confusing when you look at that. What it sounds like, if you just need to make some friends, buy some friendship with some money. And really what it's saying is that if you'll take your money, and that word mammon, we're going to talk about and define that, but that word mammon, unrighteous mammon, it's mammon that has the spirit of the world on it, that you take that money and that had the wrong purpose on it, and you reassign that in the right way, and you have God's spirit come on that, through that process, you're going to influence people, you're going to affect people's lives, you're going to make a difference in people's lives, that when you fail, and that word fail really is talking about dying. When you die, they will receive you into an everlasting home. So what it's saying there is, when you invest in the kingdom of God, when you invest in those things that matter, when you die and when you go to heaven, there's going to be some people that's going to greet you there. Perhaps people you've never met. I don't know about you, but this fires me up. That's on the other side of the planet, that you invested in missions or some cause that caused somebody to come to Christ. And they're going to greet you and say, thank you for using your money. It made a difference in my life. I came to know Christ because of your investment in those things that matter. So that's really what that scripture is saying. Go on to the next verse, if you would. And then it says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust is in what is least is unjust also in much. Verse 11 says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? We're going to talk about what true riches are at the end of this message. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, we're seeing that word mammon several times there in Scripture. Now, I use the New King James Version of that Scripture for this reason. It uses the actual word mammon. When you look at the word mammon, it actually is an Aramaic word that it is from the word mammus, and it really refers to the god of riches from a Syrian god. And we don't have an English word for that, a translation for that word. In some translations, you'll see the word money, but it's really more than just money. A lot of times you'll see it capitalized in different versions because we really didn't have a word for that. We took a word, but what it really was, and so the King James, they just put the word mammon in there, which was the true word, the true word that it was. So, and what that is referring to is that there was a spirit on that money of the world, a controlling. It is a spirit of mammon. And that spirit, listen to this, is there to control people's lives. You ever feel like you're controlled by money? Some people are controlled by a lot, too much money. Some people are a lot of money. Some people are controlled by a lack of money. But your life is controlled by money. And money, again, can be neutral. It's how you use it. Some people say, well, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. Actually, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's what you do with that money. So, I'll show you something that share with you this. It's very powerful, and that is that in the end times, which I believe we're probably at the end of the end times, where the Lord is soon to come back, and there's going to be a period of, we call it in the Bible, it's called the tribulation period, and the Antichrist sets up his reign on this earth. Do you know what the Antichrist uses to control people? It's not the threat of nuclear warfare. It's actually your money. You will not be able to buy or sell during that period of time because he's going to control your money. Unless you have the mark of the beast, that you will not be able to buy or sell. So when you're at the store, you know, you get the mark, you go across the line, you know, the line at the checkout, beep, you know, and then you... I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm just saying, but he's controlling the world through the economy, through the money. So it's the spirit of mammon, the spirit of mammon. And it's really in the world today where it controls you. Think about it. Think about the whole state of the world. It's all directly related to money. There was a survey of Americans, about Americans telling the truth. And the question was asked, what would you be willing to do for $10 million? And I've shared this with you a few years ago, but I want to share this with you again. I think it's kind of alarming when you look at this. It says that 25% of people would actually abandon their entire family for $10 million. That's pretty alarming, isn't it? And 23% would become a prostitute for a week or more. Wow, incredible. 16% would give up their U.S. citizenship. And 10% would withhold testimony, letting a murderer go free. And get this one. 3% or 7, where is it? 7% would kill a stranger, okay, and one more, 3% would put their children up for adoption. And some of you are saying, I'd do that for free. I'd actually pay it. You know, good. Now, I'm just, you know. That's pretty alarming, isn't it? The state in which we are in, that is actually true. You know, I heard of one lady who had won $17 million, and she called her husband, and she said, pack the bags. And he said, really? Oh, that's awesome. Where are we going, hot weather or cold weather? She said, it doesn't matter as long as you're gone when I get home. So anyway, money. But you look at this and you think, really, is that the condition that we're in right now? And you look at the issues of our day and the stock market. We can't figure out the stock market, the Wall Street market, Main Street, anything. And there's a spirit of mammon upon this, but I want us to see that there are some false claims that mammon claims, okay? There's some false claims. First of all, it'll tell you that money will give you security. Write that down. Money will give you security. So you're thinking, I need security. In fact, they even call it securities. They promoted that. Your life will be secure if you give us your money and let us build our big buildings uptown. Think about it. Security. But Proverbs 11 and 28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. So the lie is that it will offer you security. But here's the truth, everybody. Your security is only found in God. Amen? Only He can give you the security that you need. And so Hebrews chapter 13 says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Money will not give you security. In fact, your money could be here today and could be gone tomorrow. The stock market, we saw this week that it took a nosedive, right? Everything changed. So we don't know. It's like a roller coaster. That's not going to give you security. And you think, well, if I just had more, I'd be more secure. Talk to people who's got more and ask them if they're secure. They feel more worried about what they do have. And we're worried about what we don't have. But either way, money doesn't give us security, but God will give us security. Second lie it tells us is that it will give us identity. Identity. So we spend money we don't have to impress people we don't like, as Dave Ramsey says. It'll give me identity. Luke 12 and 15 says this, beware, don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much we own. So we think if I have some money, then I'll be somebody. I'll have some status. I'll have a better place in life. And we think we can find our identity in that. You won't find your identity in that. And I love this that Jim Carrey, you know, the comedian, he said, I wish everyone could be rich and famous and realize that it doesn't solve any problems at all. So talk to the rich and famous and ask them about it. Identity comes from God. We are specifically made in His image. He created us and made us in our mother's womb. He formed us and fashioned us with a purpose. Before we were born, He had a purpose for our life. Amen. Our identity is found in Him. He had already determined what we were to do, what we were called to do, our purpose in life before He even formed us. Our identity comes from God. We're specifically made by Him for a specific purpose. You're not an accident. God has a purpose for your life. And so that's why we have around here, we call it the growth track. We want to help you discover how God's created you and what He's called you to be and what He's called you to do. Get on the growth track today. Step two, you can get on it today. But our identity is found in Him. Number three, the third lie is that it will give me happiness. I'll be happy, happy, happy if I can just have a lot of money, 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 money. Come on, we just think it's going to give us happiness. We got songs about it. Ecclesiastes says this, those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. So if you got money, you're thinking, if I could just have some more, okay? So let me ask you, how much more would it take to make you happy? More than I have now. See, there's no end to it. You think, well, it's going to satisfy me. It's going to make me happy. It's going to, once I get that, then everything will be okay. No, it won't. No, the more you get, the more you want. I just want more. If I just had this or that or the other, money does not give us happiness. And by the way, it's okay to have money. It's just not okay for money to have you. There's a difference. Romans chapter 4 says this, happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty. That's where happiness is found, everybody. I would love to be debt-free, and Kim and I have been really talking this week about a plan that we can get debt-free. And I hope that all of you get into a plan where you can become debt-free. But I want to tell you something better than being debt-free. It's being guilt-free. It's having your sins forgiven and knowing I'm clean, I'm whole through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it is in Him that we will find our happiness. Happy is a person whom the Lord does not consider guilty. So again, it's okay to make money. Get a lot of it. That's okay. But get God's Spirit on it. We're going to talk about how we do that. So, and there's two overreactions to this, two different extremes to this. There's the prosperity gospel. And you've heard that you just need a lot of stuff. I need God wants you to have 5 Rolls Royces and a bunch of Rolex watches and all. No, He doesn't. That's not the goal, okay? I mean, we think that he wants God does this. God doesn't bless you just to bless you so you can have a bunch of stuff. God blesses you to make a difference in this world, to be a blessing. I'm convinced of that as we study Scripture on this. And then there's the poverty gospel. There's the other extreme of that, and that is, you know, that God just does, you know, poor, pitiful me. And if you have anything, you must not be God's. You can't have anything. You got to live in poverty, and you just. No, God doesn't want you to live there either. In fact, if you can't make it yourself, how are you going to be a blessing to somebody else? God wants you to have what you need, and He wants you to have more than you need. I believe that. So that you can be a blessing. So that you're not a liability to the kingdom of God, but you're an asset to the kingdom of God. So that you can be a blessing, and you can give it away. Amen? Come on, right? What does that? So it's a provision gospel that God, really is what the Bible teaches. God will provide for us every need that we have according to His riches and glory. We quote that a lot, but if you look at the context of that verse where we talk about God is going to take care of us and according to His riches and glory, He's going to take care of all of our needs. If you look at the context, it's talking about those that have put the Spirit of God on their money, those that are investing in those things that are eternal. First Timothy chapter 6 is a scripture. It's not in your notes, but I want to share this with you, that says people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge man into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So money can be a very dangerous tool. It depends on how we use it. I love the scripture. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? And so I want to talk about the financial changes that we need to make. And to do that, I'm going to take you to a scripture that's very strong on the subject that many of you are, I'm sure, very familiar with. It's found in Malachi chapter 3. And the Lord begins by saying this. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. And a lot of people have discredited this scripture, saying, well, this is an Old Testament scripture. Can I tell you, it begins by saying, I, the Lord, do not change. God doesn't change from Old Testament to New Testament. Now, we know we're not under the law, we're under grace, but the principles are still in place. God's principles are still there. I'll prove it to you. Jesus said, you have heard it said, thou shalt not lust upon a woman, right? Thou shalt not look upon her, and thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, that's the law. But then he says, but I say to you, anyone that looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. So the law, you're not under the law, but you're still under the principle. In fact, it's even to a greater extent under grace, because now it's not just your behavior, it's your heart, right? It's not just your actions, it's what your heart is, right? So the principles are still in place. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. And he said, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. And I would say, if you've turned away from his decrees, how is that working out for you? Okay? And this is for all of us, all right? He says that you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. And he says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Good question. Will a mere, and then he said, answers it with a question, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And he says it plainly, in tithes and offerings. And then he says, you are under a curse. Life is not working for you. it's not happening. You're going to be under this bondage, and it'll affect you the rest of your life because you're under this curse. Your whole nation, it goes on to say, and we could talk about the state of our economy in our nation. He said, because you are robbing me. And then he says, he tells us what to do. Bring me the whole tithe. And in Scripture, it teaches us what that is. It's a tenth. He said the whole tithe. And you can look at this principle throughout Scripture. And it's shared in so many different ways that God always wants to be the first in our life. We're tithing right now, by the way, being here on the first day of the week. We're tithing our time. And God says, I'm gonna bless that. You're tithing your time. So your whole week's going to be different because you're in church and you're tithing that time. Beginning of our day, we get to go to Him in prayer. And He says, I'm going to change your day because you're tithing your time at the beginning of your day. Well, in this area too, we are to tithe our income to the Lord. And He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And notice this. He doesn't say give it. He says, bring it. And the reason He says, bring it, you cannot give what is not yours. You can only bring it. In other words, the tithe already belongs to the Lord. And He says, so bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's where we worship. That's where we get fed out of, that storehouse. It's not a TV ministry. It's not a cause. You know, that those are offerings. But for the tithe, it belongs in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then He says, test me. This is the only place in Scripture. He says, put me to the test. He says, try it and see if it will not work. He says, test me, this says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not, look at this, throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, that's a pretty good deal. He's promised His blessings to us. And then He goes on to say, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your fields and will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. I'm gonna rebuke the devil off of you. I'm gonna rebuke the devourer off of you. So when the attack comes, I'm gonna stand at the door and say, no, you can't have this. And He's gonna protect that. And then it says, then all the nations will call you blessed. Why? Because you're being a blessing to them, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. So the principle is there. God says basically this, that everything on the planet is mine. And He's called us to be stewards of that. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman, y'all. I'm just delivering the message, okay? This is what God said, okay? Either we believe God's word or we don't believe God's word. We practice it or we don't practice it. So I'm just trying to be life-giving with you on this, but I'm telling you this principle will set you free. What I'm talking about is a game changer when we begin to implement God's word in this area of our life. And you might be saying, well, do you just want something from me, Pastor? You just want to get my money? Let me just again say this. And I say this not bragging or complaining. It's just a fact. I mean, I don't think it should be this way. According to Scripture, it should be different than this. But right now, I do not get paid by the church. That's not complaining, and it's not bragging either, okay? It's just a fact. So I'm just saying as a disclaimer that if you think, or if you're watching online, yeah, there's another preacher wanting somebody's money. No, I don't get paid a penny from this church, okay? I'm working a full-time job because that's just where it needs to be right now. So that's not the motivation. The motivation is not for this church. It's not for Crosspoint. I'm telling you, I promise from my heart, this motivation is for you so that we can get off the prayer cards. I need financial help. I need a job. I need a miracle here in my finances. I'm under bondage in this area. I'm telling you, this is the key. This is the game changer. If you'll implement this in your life, that I'm telling you, you're going to be free. Amen? It's a game changer. When we begin to honor God according to His word, according to Scripture, it will change everything. So I got three questions I want to ask you. Number one is this. Am I returning the first? Am I returning the first? So how do I get God's Spirit on it? It's simple. God says, I want you to return to me what's mine, and then I want you to take care of the rest of it. So you take unrighteous mammon, you take that was used for wrong things in the world, but you take it and you put God's Spirit on it, and you begin to do what God says with money in your life. This is an area that, I'm telling you, we need to change our life. So we give God what's His, And then it does it in there. Then we take the 90% and we steward that according to God's principles. So you say, well, I can give, but then don't misuse the rest either. So it's both. So, but first of all, am I returning the first? Right? Am I returning the first? Is God's Spirit on it? And this is a test as to whether God's Spirit is on it. Proverbs chapter 3 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. I'm telling you, do a study on first throughout Scripture. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's not that God needs it. God wants to know where He places in your life. He wants to know if, I mean, we say, well, we trust the Lord with our life. Do we? We must trust Him in every area of our life. And you're saying, well, Pastor, that's good and that's all good and well, but you don't understand, I can't do that. And again, I say this with as much care and love and gentle, life-giving spirit as I can. But until you tithe, you never can tithe. You never will be able to tithe. If that's your belief, that I can't afford to tithe. Because, listen to this, tithe is what breaks the spirit of mammon off your money. The whole key to it is that when you give, when you tithe, that's the key. So if you say, I can't tithe, and I'm not able to tithe, you will never be able to tithe until you tithe. Because when you tithe, then guess what? You're able. Does this make any sense? Listen, this isn't just good preaching. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I want us to be free. I want us as a people to be free, individually to be free in this area and have God's Spirit on this area of our life. Come on, it's going to be a game changer. I want the same thing for Crosspoint. We're going to be investing more this year outside these doors because this church is tithing as well. Amen? And so we're going to see this principle come true for us, and God's going to have His Spirit on everything we do, not just the 10%, but the 90%. Is this okay? Everybody good? All right, I'm telling you. So honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then look what happens. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will be brimmed with the new wine. So God's going to bless us as we follow Him in this. And notice what it says there. Honor me, honor me, honor me, honor me. So we're honoring God in this. We're saying we trust You, God. This is only a touchy subject because at times, there's been an abuse in this area of people have preached this and delivered this the wrong way, okay? Come on, give me your money, and I'll send you something in the mail that's going to, that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, the principle, no matter how much abuse, the principle is still truth. Another reason it's touchy is sometimes this is, just to be honest, it's people's God, the little g, God. Don't touch this area. You can have everything else, but don't touch this area. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe me, don't take my word for it. Go find a tither. Go talk to somebody. Say, are you a tither? Can I ask you, does that work for you? And they'll tell you. They'll tell you that it changes their life. Everything changes. And it doesn't mean they're going to have a Rolls Royce sitting in the driveway, but it does mean that God takes care of them. Amen? Can I get an amen from the tithers? Amen? All right, there you go. There you go. We didn't rehearse that. All right, they gave witness to that. And the people who are defensive about this are people that are not tithing and say, I can't. I'm telling you, find a tither and you'll find out it works. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, right? Deuteronomy says this, be sure to set aside a tenth of all your fields, produce each year. And then it says, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God. Always, always. And so I believe this principle. I believe it for myself. I believe it for this church. I was taught as a child, if I get birthday money and I get $10 in my card, a dollar of it's going to God's house. A dollar of it's God's. I've been taught this all my life, and I've never missed. I've never missed tithing. And I'm telling you, God has always taken care of me in so many ways. He said, if you prove Him in this, if you'll test Him in this trials, He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And if you call right now, message. And if there's an added benefit, he's gonna rebuke things in your life. I'm telling you, it's God's word. See, God doesn't have to verify and honor your word, but he does honor his own word. And his word declares it, and he'll be true to his own word. Amen? And so, and by the way, God doesn't bless everyone the same. Have you ever noticed that? And neither would you. You're going to invest in those that are handling their money wisely. You're going to invest your money where it has a good return. Now, God has the same system for all of us, a 10%, and for some it's different than others, but the portion is the same, 10%. But as we honor God with that, God will bless us. Number two, second question, am I stewarding the rest? Am I stewarding the rest? So we give the tenth, and then we steward the rest. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. So we're being responsible with the money we do have. It leads to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So, and by the way, the 10, the tithe is not just the percentage, it's the first. That's important. It's not just the amount, it's first. So it's the first check we write. It's the first, not at the end of the month. If you have anything left over, God will give it to you. No, I don't even know if God would accept it that way. It doesn't work that way. It's the first. And then he is able to bless the rest and then help us to know how to handle the rest. So am I stewarding the rest? Luke 16 is not in your notes, but it says, whoever can be trusted with very little, this was actually the first opening scripture, but it's in the NIV, it puts it this way, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Well, that makes sense. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much, right? So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, unrighteous mammon, who will trust you with true riches? We're going to talk about that. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So that makes perfect sense. So again, listen, this is not a heaven or hell issue, but it's a matter of whether you have God's Spirit in this area of your life. And so I want to pause right here and say, how do we steward the rest? Well, obviously, I don't have time to give you a 9-week course here. However, we have a 9-week course that's starting tomorrow night. Come on. You want to give a shout-out to Dwayne Dunham. Going to be coordinating Financial Peace University, and this is for you. Tomorrow night is a freebie. If you just want to go, right, tomorrow night, go and check it out. Be here at Crosspoint at 7 o'clock, FPU. You need to get in this. If you've never been through Financial Peace University, everybody needs to go through this one at least once. And it's a lifetime membership. You can come if you've been there before. You need a refresher. Come on back. It'll be right here at Crosspoint, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You need to check it out. There's a cost involved, but tomorrow night's free. So if you want to just come and check it out, be here. Dwayne Dunham's done this many semesters here at Crosspoint. Dwayne and Karen is right now leading one at Billy Graham Association. It's a great course. So get in a small group. Get into this Financial Peace University, and it will be, I believe, for you a game changer in this area. Number three, third question is this. Am I focusing on true riches? So the question is this, what then is true riches? Simply put, people. People. The only thing that's going to last forever is people. So how are we leveraging everything that's ours to make a difference in people's lives? If we've got a swimming pool, are we inviting the kids over to the swimming pool so that we can engage them and share with them the love of Jesus? You know, whatever it is that we have, are we leveraging everything that we have? It's not just the 10%, but how are we living our life for the good of others? It's all about people. There's a scripture, I won't give it to you, but it's in Luke chapter 12 that talks about a man that was very rich, and he had these barns, and he had all of his feed in the barn, and he didn't have enough room. He had such a great crop that year, and he said, what am I going to do with all this surplus? And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn, and I'll build a bigger barn. And the Lord spoke and said, you fool, called him a fool, not because he had a lot of money, but because he wasn't using it wisely. And he said, this night your life will be required of you, and who are you going to leave that stuff with now? And I've been to a lot of funerals, and you can't take any of it with you. Somebody said there's no U-Haul attached to a coffin, okay? I mean, you're just not going to take it with you. And we think in terms of that this life is eternity. It's not eternity. This life is very temporary. And how we live this life and how we invest in the things that matter, that changes everything. And so Matthew chapter 6 says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there's a key verse right there. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, God doesn't want, it's not that God needs your treasure. Think about it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to him anyway. God's not interested in your stuff. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. And when you surrender this area of your life to him, you're saying, God, everything I have is yours. And where what you invested, there's your heart. That's where your heart. And God doesn't want you, your heart, an unrighteous mammon and the things of this world. God wants you, wants your heart for him. He wants a relationship with you. So we need to return the first, steward the rest, and now be focused on true riches, and that's people. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. And there may be, we're talking about the spirit of mammon. The spirit of mammon does speak to people. It speaks to people and says, Pastor, that's a good message from the pastor, but you know, you don't have enough of that unrighteous mammon. But when I have enough of that unrighteous mammon, I might come back and listen to this message again, and then I'll be able to do something. Well, we just shared with you all the scriptures that says that's not the way that works. And the way that you're doing it now, how is that working out for you? And we look at the condition of the world in this area, and it's not working at all. But see, here's the deal. We don't just need God's spirit on our money. We need God's spirit on our life. And the same as we do with our money, we surrender to him our life by inviting him to come into our life, and we make him Lord of all. And I'm telling you, it changes everything. Changes everything. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are you giving God the control of your life? So this isn't just about money. This is spiritual. This area of finances is actually spiritual. It's not about money. It really isn't. It's about faith and trust in him, that I'm going to trust him fully with my entire life. As we share with Romans chapter 6, it says that we're not going to let these things control our life, but we're going to give ourselves completely to God. Completely to God. So I want to ask you a question. Have you given yourself completely to God? Really given him complete control? Every area of your life. I want to lead you in a prayer of doing just that. If you're watching online, we encourage you to join with us. But if you're in this house and you say, "That's Pastor, I need to make a decision. I need to give him control of every area." I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. You don't have to stand or come to the front. I just want to simply lead you in a prayer. But if that's you right now, say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you count me in that prayer when you pray?" Would you just slip up a hand boldly? Come on, boldly. Slip up a hand and put it right back down. Yes, yes, good job. Yes. Let me lead you in this prayer. Can I just help you with it from your heart? Come on, can I get some help with this? Everybody just pray this out loud so that those that need to pray it have some privacy, but they can just pray it out loud. If you need to pray this prayer, just mean it. Just say something like this: God, thank you for loving me, that you gave your all. You tithed your own son. You gave him for me first, before I came to you, in hopes that I would. By faith, I accept you into my life. Come. Live inside of me. Forgive me for going my own way. And with all of my heart, I give you all of my life. I surrender all. I declare you as Lord of my life. And I will follow you as you help me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for those that just prayed this prayer, God. Accepted you into their life. thank you, Lord, for making a change. God, let us experience freedom. Let us experience freedom in every area of our life so that we can live this thing out the way you intended us to live it, God. God, bless us and bless us indeed that we can be a blessing to others, God. We can be, Lord, world changers. God, let this be a game changer in our life so that we can be world changers for eternity's sake. We'll give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.